Well, happy Mother's Day, and on this day we want to call your attention to the Word of God for today, taken from a passage of Scripture from the pen of John the Apostle from chapter 19, verses 25 to 27, just two short verses. And I will do my best to be concise and brief today because I know it is a special day and that many of you have special plans that you are eager to get on with as we bless our mothers on this day that has been set aside to give honor to them. Amen. And so with that, I ask you to read with me two verses, these two short verses from John 19. Near the cross of Jesus. That's a sermon all by itself. Say that with me. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said this to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk to you very briefly this morning from this subject, how to love our mothers. Let us pray. So, Father, now again, it is incumbent upon us to pause for a moment to invite your holy presence into this place. For we know that you are really the unseen guest among us. So we pray that you would be pleased to visit us for just a little while through the power of your Spirit, that you would anoint the words that I speak, that in the hearing of these words, your people, God, would be attentive and attuned to listen carefully, to obey freely, and to depend upon you as you speak in this hour. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The concept of Mother's Day celebration, as I'm sure some of you need not be brought up for a history lesson, but I just wanted to share with you that Mother's Day in itself, even though we don't characterize it as a Christian holiday, does have Christian roots. Some of you may know that the celebration of Mother's Day got started way back in a small little country town in a Methodist church in Grafton, West Virginia. I frankly don't even know where Grafton is, but I would imagine it's a teeny tiny little place somewhere in West Virginia. It started as an idea by a Sunday school teacher whose name was Anna Reeves Jarvis. And Mrs. Jarvis was preparing and came up with this idea as she was preparing a Sunday school lesson for her students as she was going to be teaching on the fifth commandment. Anybody know the fifth commandment? Honor thy father and thy mother. The days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord. The first promise, the first blessing that it has a promise, first commandment with a promise. And so Mrs. Jarvis, I was preparing for the Sunday school lesson on the fifth commandment when she came up with this idea, but it is her daughter who is credited with getting the town, not just the little local church that they were a part of, but the entire town of Grafton to celebrate Mother's Day on Mother's Day way back in 1907. And then in 1909, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, decided to pick up on this idea, and they also have a citywide celebration in honor of Mother's Day. And then finally, as this notion of honoring mothers began to permeate and spread throughout our nation, on May 8, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson designated the second Sunday in May as the official celebration of Mother's Day in the United States of America. And we know it today, right? To be one of the most celebrated holidays in all of our land. In some ways, it is also one which to some degree has been fallen to commercialism, just like everything else we celebrate, right? But, I mean, it really startles us that there are more phone calls made on Mother's Day. There are more Hallmark cards bought and sold and exchanged on Mother's Day. There are more people who come to church, even, some people say, in honor of Mother's Day. So Mother's Day is an important day, because mothers are important. Would we agree? Amen. But I understand, as you heard my partner in ministry in his prayer allude to the fact that Mother's Day can also be a very painful and a day of sadness for many others for a number of reasons that he also elucidated. Loss of a child, can't have a child, or maybe you've had a strained relationship with your mother and it is not a pleasant relationship, or your mom may have passed away and your heart is still grieving at the loss of someone that was so significant in your life. I want you to know this morning that you are not alone, if that is where you are. My prayer for you this morning is that this example, by the way of Jesus in response to his mother in John 19, will bring you hope and comfort in whatever situation you may be. And although, my sisters and brothers, we have just celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have just come through the glorious celebration of Easter, I need you to pause. I need you to step back. I need you to go back with me before the resurrection to that Friday that we call Good Friday. I need you to go back with me for a moment, back to the foot of the cross, because that is the setting of John 19. In this text this morning, John informs us about four women, four courageous women who drew near the cross. It just gives new meaning to that song, that old gospel tune, Jesus Keep Me Near the Cross. He starts out informing us about these women who drew near the cross. And it says that near the cross in our text, verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. I want that to sink in for just a moment. The Bible doesn't say a lot about Mary, the wife of Clopas, but we are very familiar with the other Marys, with the other three who were there, right? These four mothers, by the way, were the same ones that would show up early on the morning of the resurrection. They would be there at the tomb. These women displayed a tremendous courage and fearless determination because they loved Jesus. They put themselves in harm's way to be with Jesus as he was being crucified on the cross. Can you see that? Near the cross, watching carefully, near the cross, waiting and watching. It would be hard, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being in that position yourself as a mother or a father? Can you imagine watching a horrifying scene like that unfold before your very eyes? Here is your firstborn son, anointed from birth, the immaculate birth, the angel announcing that this son would be called the Son of the Most High God, your only son, Mary's first baby, straddled out on that cross, suffering, actively dying before her very face. That would be hard to watch, would it not? Mothers? Very hard. And I wonder, as I read this text over and over again, I wonder if in the mind of Mary, she had a flood of memories flashing before her. Yeah, you know, you people come into those situations and when it's traumatic and it's filled with drama and trauma, that it seems that life itself flashes across the screens of your mind. I wonder if Mary was contemplating the words that she heard spoken to her faithfully on the day that she dedicated Jesus in the temple. You all remember Simeon, who waited for the consolation of the Lord, godly Simeon, who had prayed, "Lord, don't let me pass before I see your answer to our dilemma by sending us the Messiah." Simeon, words that spoke to her that morning. Do you remember? I wondered if those words came flooding back into her mind. Luke records it for us in chapter 2, verse 34. See, Simeon said these words to her. He said, this child that you bring to present back to God will cause the fall and rising of many in Israel. And he will also be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then he adds this last poignant statement. He said, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." As she watched floods of memories, remember that the angel spoke to her and he said that Mary cherished all of these things in her heart when the announcement of his birth was made. Listen again to the text. Verse 26. Jesus says, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, the Bible says that this disciple took Mary into his own home. Did you catch what just happened? Did you see it? Did you just catch what just happened here? Jesus, even as he was actively dying, was concerned about the well-being of his mother. Can't imagine what it must have been like. He had been hanging there, hanging by a balance to his life, clinging, but had enough vision, either the proximity of where they stood, he and the crowd of others, because they weren't the only ones who were there. They were. Said he said he was. Crucify him. There were all kinds of people at the foot of the cross, but he looked out and he saw his mother. He saw her. He looked into her eyes. No doubt he picked up on the pain and the anguish and the despair that was certainly ripping her apart. Many scholars would know that would say that at this point Jesus was looking at her, and he, when he saw her, his heart, his own heart was moved to show one last final act of honor, one last final act of compassion to his mother. And he commended her to his beloved disciple, John, the beloved disciple, one who had walked closely with Jesus, one who had had faith and followed him closely. He said, "This is your mother." Jesus, therefore, did something special. He joined together a new family. Can you see that? He joined together. He forged a new family. We like to use terms like the beloved community was given birth at this moment. I like to think of it as that the church was somewhere beginning to take shape and form through these relationships that are commending each other to one another because we all love and have faith in Jesus. The church, my sisters and brothers, can in some ways be a metaphor for motherhood. I kind of like that idea. The mother church. You know, the church is used in different terms for the church, right? The church is the bride of Christ, right? The church can also be the mother. We refer sometimes to the church in feminine terms. She, her, the mother. So church can be a metaphor for motherhood. And I suggest this morning that this new family, this beloved community, this place where we are cared for, this place at the motherhood of the church where we are loved and nurtured and supported from the times that we are the wee little ones with little sheep until we grow into almost, where's your brother? Behind you. Yes, he's taller than you. You know that. He's going to catch up with you and be bigger and taller. Now, you can still get him if you just keep being fast, though. He can't catch you. Amen. But they grow up because they have been nurtured. They have been cared for. They have been taught. They have been discipled. They have been loved on. They have been encouraged to seek Jesus for themselves. And this motherling support and nurture of the church. And that's why we should honor motherhood. One occasion in the scriptures, somewhere in an obscure place that you can do some Bible searches for yourself and actually find it. But there was one occasion where some people came running up to Jesus. And he had been preaching and teaching and healing and spreading the good news of the kingdom. And his popularity was growing. And apparently there were every place he went, large crowds were following him around. So he was in this place, and there was the press of the crowd, and so his immediate family was trying to seek an audience with him. His immediate family was trying to see him, to be in his company, in his presence. And they were standing somehow blocked or not having access. And somebody said to Jesus, did you outside your mother and your father and your family is trying to see you? They want to gain interest to your presence. And Jesus, do you remember what he said on that occasion? Jesus kind of flipped the script for a minute. He said, I know that these are my family and they want to see me. They want to be in my presence. But these are my mothers and my brothers. But he said, but who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? He said, those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And so I say to you this morning, my sisters, my mothers of the Oakdale family, the mothers of this church, doesn't matter at this moment that everybody didn't have the same kind of nurturing relationship and powerful connections that maybe so many of us did. Maybe you have been had a different experience. I want you to see that there are words of comfort here because we see this beloved community that nurtures us, even in the absence of a mother, a physical mother who perhaps did that. So how should we love our mothers? I'm glad you asked, and I'll be through in just a minute. How should we love our mother in this beloved community? Well, first of all, I would like to suggest that we need to do it in a very simple way. It is simple to say three very important little words. Anybody? I love you. I love you. Saying those words, children, to your mother. Saying those words, husbands, to your wives, the mother of your children. Saying those three little words, I love you and I appreciate you, goes a very long way to bring honor to mothers. Second, I would suggest that we show love by reaching out with kindness and compassion. And I want to talk particularly about those of us who've been blessed to have mothers who have lived into the very long lifespans. And you know that as our mothers grew older, they were more frail and forgetful, and they would often repeat things and tell you things that they've told you 100 times. And sometimes it gets to be a little bit much to laugh at the jokes that you've laughed at 100 times. Or said, Mom, you just told me that. But being kind and compassionate to our elderly mothers is a way to show great honor to them. Young people, sometimes it's easier for you to show honor and respect and love and appreciation for your friends' mothers than you do for your own. Be careful about that. Bring your mother into that orbit first. Thirdly, we should show love by forgiving our mothers. Mothers are not perfect. Amen? Most mothers will admit that. This motherhood thing didn't come with a manual, right? That says this is how you do it. And this is how you do it without making mistakes. This is how you do it flawlessly and perfectly. Mothers make mistakes like everybody else, and we need to forgive our mothers when that is necessary. Because guess what? One of the most powerful experiences that we will have with our mothers is that when we mess up, they forgive us. They don't hold it against us. They don't keep throwing it up in our faces. Amen? So love your mothers by forgiving. Lastly, we show love by serving our mothers. Whatever it is that we can do, for every act of kindness, for every errand, for every area of support, for just being there, taking the time to be there in their presence, is a blessing for them. I wanted to close this message now with an example, a rather public example of a very high-profile athlete whose name is Kevin Durant. Some of you who are basketball fans will remember that Kevin Durant, in 2014, was named as the most valuable player in the NBA. And basketball players know what it takes, right, to reach that height of accomplishment in one's chosen field. But Kevin Durant, in his powerful, tearful, emotional acceptance of this MVP award, began to give credit And he started out with some, I mean, this thing, if you haven't heard it, if you don't remember seeing it, it's still online. He started out with some of the most obscure people in the background of his life. Almost everybody that he played neighborhood basketball pickup games with, all the way through to the famous players that he rubbed up against, to the rookies who he was helping to shape as he himself became a more seasoned player, to the coaches and to all of the people who were the trainers and those who took care of the stuff behind the scenes that nobody even knows their names. He gave credit for all of those people and said, "You have helped me. You have pushed me. You have inspired me to be who I am today. I owe all of that to you." And he began to name his family. He talked about his father. His father would send him, even though he grew up in a broken home, apparently. But his father was a man of faith who would send him scripture passages every day. And he thanked his father. He thanked his little brother. Then he said, finally, he looked out and he saw his mother. And he said, "Mom, Mom, you are the real MVP. I tell you, to watch this 6'11". I thought he was 7'2" or something. He looks bigger. This phenom, tearful and emotional, looking at his mother saying, "Mama, Mama, you are the real MVP. Because of all that you sacrificed for me, all that you went beyond the call of duty for me, all of the sleepless nights, all of the moving around, the struggling and the sacrifices that you made. You went hungry so that we could eat. You encouraged me when I didn't have confidence in myself. Mother, you are the real MVP." Showing honor to his mother. And he said, "Last, I want to thank God." He said, "I want to thank God, for you are the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, and I thank you for saving my life." Now, I want to end by saying, starting back to where I began, that I know that this is perhaps not necessarily, it's not necessarily the best day for everybody, and that you may be in a different place because of your relationship with your mother was different. But I want you to acknowledge, if that is where you are, acknowledge that pain. Let the Lord know He can handle that pain. I also suggest to you this morning that if you can't name mother as the MVP of your life and you're struggling with that, I want you to find someone, perhaps another woman, who has nurtured you in your life, because that's what this motherhood of the church is all about. There are mothers. Jesus said that when we follow him and we give up everything to follow him, if we give up houses and family and mothers, he would multiply those things back to it. So right here, there are some mothers. There are some nurturers. There are some women who will latch on to you. Remember who they are if there's been one who has spoken into your life, and reach out and show some appreciation and honor for them. And then lastly, if that is where you are, just simply say, perhaps now is an opportunity for you to play it back and to find perhaps there's another young woman somewhere who's lost her way, who hasn't been nurtured the way she needs to be. Perhaps you could be a big brother or a big sister to a youth, a young person, so that one day we could stand here and say that we had a hand in helping to shape young people who stand and profess their love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because they experienced that firsthand through the mothering of the church, through the nurturing of this family called the beloved community. So happy Mother's Day. May God continue to bless you and keep you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had on this day to celebrate milestones where we have seen the eventual fruit that comes from the labor of love that we learned so much from our own mothers and the mothers around us, even those who never gave birth, surrogate mothers, mothers who are adopted mothers, mothers who are just simply self-appointed nurturers in our lives. Help us, Lord, not to take these blessings for granted, but that we will give honor to whom honor is due, and that we would indeed be inspired by the fifth commandment to love our mothers and fathers. And so we thank you again for the promise that comes with it, and we give you thanks and praise for all of this and more in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen.